10 p.m. CBS News. Security is extremely tight in Japan, where President Ford is due to arrive within the hour. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Japanese leftists demonstrated in the Tokyo area before the president's arrival. 25,000 Japanese riot police have been assigned to security duty. Air Force One is due to touch down about 30 minutes from now. More from Andrew Adams in Tokyo.
Militant leftist students are planning to hold rallies and demonstrations near the heavily guarded airport to protest Mr. Ford's visit. Even police boats are standing by to forestall any attempt by radical students to invade the airport from the sea. Japanese Prime Minister Takuya Tanaka ordered perfect security for President Ford during his five-day visit to Japan, and no less than 160,000 Japanese policemen have been mobilized throughout the country to comply with Tanaka's instructions. When President Ford steps off Air Force One at the airport, he will become the first American president to touch Japanese soil in the history of U.S.-Japanese relations. The president and his party will immediately be flown by helicopter to the state guest house at Akasaka in downtown Tokyo. But his official schedule won't begin until tomorrow, when he meets with Emperor Hirohito and holds his first talks with Prime Minister Tanaka. This is Andrew Adams for CBS News in Tokyo.
President Ford will be gone a total of 9 days. He'll go to South Korea next, and then to the Soviet port city of Vladivostok for a summit meeting with Leonid Brezhnev. More news in a moment.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your gold to contact the sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1.
Please don't give me problems. I'm catching a common cold. Sneezing, drips, congestion.
Give your cold a contact. For up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms, you'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact.
I know, the tiny time pills.
Right. Both the others are things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
Sneezing, drips, congestion? I'll take the contact.
Contact, yes.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact. Only as directed.
Israeli naval vessels on Sunday shelled targets inside Lebanon. The Israelis say their guns were aimed at Arab guerrilla targets. Lebanon says the Israelis fired on a Palestinian refugee camp. Israel says its front lines were relatively quiet on Sunday and that the tensions appear to be eased somewhat. Prime Minister Rabin talked about the partial mobilization of the Israeli army this weekend.
When the tension is high, we take precautions. And I'm glad that we haven't mobilized too many. We have mobilized a very limited number of reserves. And I was glad to hear from them that they understand that it's better to take precautions, that they have to carry the burden of it, rather than to be caught by surprise.
Rabin, who was speaking in Tel Aviv, says the partial mobilization of the army may have checked any Arab plans for an attack. A citizens group reported Sunday that the Nixon administration had a so-called enemies list of 99 organizations and used the Internal Revenue Service to keep tabs on them. The group claims there's no assurance the IRS has yet destroyed the files it gathered on the groups. The groups include a wide range of organizations, from the National Council of Churches to the Urban League. Commenting on the report, the Urban League says it was receiving government grants at the same time it was being investigated. Senator Howard Cannon, Democrat of Nevada, who is the chairman of the Senate Rules Committee, says he thinks his committee will vote to confirm Nelson Rockefeller as vice president. Senator Cannon says that on the basis of what he knows so far, he intends to vote for Rockefeller's confirmation. The Rules Committee on Monday will continue its hearings on the Rockefeller nomination. More news after this word.
Which would you rather forego? The low prices only a chain store can offer, or the friendly service of an independent dealer? Why settle for one or the other? Hi, Pat Summerall here to tell you that you get the benefits of both at True Value Hardware Stores. You see, True Value Hardware Stores are independently owned by a local man, usually a neighbor of yours. He's the kind of friendly guy you get to know by his first name. The kind of handy guy you look to for do-it-yourself advice. And he has his own money invested in the business. So believe me, you'll never write the chairman of some board to get satisfaction. At the same time, each independent True Value dealer is a part of a chain of over 4,700 hardware stores whose combined buying power amounts to $1 billion. So True Value hardware stores buy their merchandise for less, can sell it to you for less. Chain store prices, independent dealer service. Get the best of both worlds at True Value hardware stores.
A new report by the United Nations says the number of men in the world is increasing rapidly and that males now outnumber females by 10 million. The UN says the trend is likely to continue through the rest of this century. The statistics also place the total number of people in the world at 3,986,000,000. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for showery periods through tomorrow with local gusty winds and periods of partial clearing, partly sunny on Tuesday. The highs near 50, lows in the low 40s. In downtown Seattle, it's 48 degrees, a bit breezy, wind out of the south at 18 miles per hour. And in sports briefly, in the National Football League today, Oakland over San Diego 17-10, Miami beat Buffalo 35-28. Baltimore 17, Atlanta 7, the Jets over New England 21-16, Detroit beat the Giants 20-19, St. Louis 13, Philadelphia 3, Pittsburgh over Cleveland 26-16, Green Bay down Minnesota 19-6, San Francisco 34, Chicago nothing, Houston over Cincinnati 20-3, New Orleans beat Los Angeles 20-7, and Washington over Dallas 28-21. Tonight in the NBA, Golden State defeated Phoenix 106-105, Detroit over New Orleans. It's 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... G. Marshall. Welcome to the world of fantasy that is your imagination. What am I saying? One's imagination a fantasy world? Nonsense. Rubbish. I should have said the world of reality. For what can possibly be more real than that which the imaginative powers of the brain conjure up? You question that? Consider, then, what happened to lovely, imaginative Nikki Carpenter.
You can't be serious.
You know I am, Nikki.
But what you're saying, it's nonsense.
You think so? You really think so, Nikki?
Alicia, Amanda, imagination didn't kill them.
True enough, my darling. But imagination, yours, will kill you.
Mystery drama, Murder to Perfection, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lowther and stars Mercedes McCambridge and Joseph Campanella. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
You've seen the Budweiser commercials on television, and maybe you've wondered how long people have been putting that famous Bud label on things. Well, not as long as the brewers of Bud have been putting things on the label. Things like a list of Bud's most important ingredients. Quote, brewed by our original process from the choicest hops, rice, and best barley malt. And things like the following statement. This is the famous Budweiser beer. We know of no brand produced by any other brewer which costs so much to brew and age. Our exclusive Beechwood aging produces a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Unquote. Yes, brewing beer right does make a difference. Read the Bud label. Taste the king of beers, and you'll agree, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
The strangest thing happened last night when I was walking home from work. It was almost dark. And then I saw someone. A woman struggling to change a tire. I stopped. She stiffened. I think she was afraid of me. And then something strange happened. We talked. I mean, really talked. There by the roadside, changing a tire. She told me how scared she was. She wanted help, but was afraid of the kind of help she might get. I told her I had fears like that too, and I think she understood. Then she drove away, and I didn't even get her name. But I listened to her talk, and she listened to me too. And you know, that made me feel good. A word for active listening from the Mennonite Churches.
Few will deny that what we call imagination is the greatest creative, yes, and destructive force known to the human race. The paintings of the Sistine Chapel existed inside the head of Michelangelo before he expressed them on canvas. Bach, Beethoven, Brahms heard their music in imagination before setting the notes to paper. This being so, you'll understand how the story I am about to tell you, though bizarre, strange, macabre in the extreme, is true in every detail.
Nikki, dear?
Yes, Bill?
It's 11:30. The funeral chapel, they'll be closing it for the night in half an hour. How about going home?
Alicia looks so lifelike there in the casket. I find it so hard to believe she's dead.
I know.
He murdered her, Bill.
No, Nikki.
Yes, he did. I know you think the sun rises and sets on your brother, but he murdered my sister. He murdered Alicia as surely as she lies dead in that coffin.
Nikki, dearest, you're tired and overwrought. You've been here all day, all night. You're exhausted thinking things that simply can't be so, saying things that make no sense. Guy loved Alicia. Why, in the year of their marriage, he was the most devoted husband a wife could ask for.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, Guy, come in.
Bill, Nikki, I thought everyone would be gone by now. I could spend a little time alone with Alicia.
We were just leaving, Guy.
No, I'm not. I want to be with Alicia as much as possible until she's buried tomorrow.
That's exactly the way I feel.
Oh, you liar.
Nikki.
You killed her. You murdered her in cold blood.
Nikki's overtired, Guy.
Yes. Crossed, but I don't understand. I mean, to say a thing like that.
Well, it's true. You know it is.
Now, look here, Nikki. Alicia fell or jumped from our apartment window. There was no one else in the apartment at the time, not even me. I was at my office downtown, so just where'd you get this crazy, wild idea that I killed her? I don't know.
Well, you will.
What do you mean?
I mean that I'm going to prove that you murdered her. If it takes every cent I have in the world, if I have to dedicate the rest of my life to it.
Take her home and call a doctor. She needs sedation.
Yeah. Come on, Nikki. Nikki, sweetheart, haven't you looked at her long enough?
I will pay for killing you, Alicia. I promise you that. I promise.
Yes, Nikki Carpenter. Oh, hello, Jacques. No, I'm not ready to announce my latest designs yet. Denim and suede combo, where did you hear that? I'm sorry, Jacques, I'm not telling. Not this early. Yes, just as soon as I'm ready to announce, I'll make sure that you're the first one to know. Bye. Yes. Oh, of course. Bill, darling, what a lovely surprise.
Hey, I'm not interrupting you in the midst of a creative brainstorm, am I, dear?
Oh, the man I madly love and I'm going to marry could never be an interruption. But this visit is unexpected.
I've got something serious to talk over with you.
Uh-huh.
It's about my brother Guy.
Yes.
I find this a little awkward, Nicky.
Awkward? Why?
Well, you and I are engaged, and that Guy, he's my brother. So the whole situation. Nicky, have you hired a private detective agency to check up on Guy?
Yes.
But why?
Because he murdered my sister, Alicia. And I intend to prove that he did.
Oh, come on now, Nicky. How can you go on saying such a thing, thinking such a thing? What ever gave you the idea in the first place?
Guy, for one.
Guy?
I don't like him. I never have. Charming, yes, loaded with charm, and handsome and witty, and in my opinion, a deceitful fraud.
He just rubs you the wrong way. Even if everything you say is true, it doesn't make him a murderer.
Well, I think differently.
But you must have a reason, something more than just disliking someone.
I have. Alicia fell. Or jumped to her death from the window of their 12th-story apartment.
Accident. Suicide, perhaps. Not murder.
Yes, murder.
But how in heaven's name can you say...
Because Alicia was scared to death of heights in all her life when we were kids together. She wouldn't dare go near an open window more than 2 stories above the ground. So what was she doing at that open window 12 stories above the ground?
I don't know. But it certainly doesn't make a murderer out of my brother.
Not on the face of it, no.
Guy loved Alicia. Why would he murder her?
For the $250,000 he got from her insurance.
Honey, you're letting that imagination you're so famous for run away with you.
I may be known for my imagination, but the private detective I hired isn't.
What does that mean?
I didn't know that Guy had lived in Europe for nearly 15 years. You never told me.
It never came up. Well, what's that got to do with...
He was out of touch with you, completely, totally out of touch all those years, right?
Well, yes. I mean, I had no idea where he was.
Did you know that he'd been married twice while living abroad?
What? No.
And that both wives died under what is usually called mysterious circumstances, leaving your brother more than $500,000 in cash?
Good Lord, no. I never knew this. Guy has never told me anything about any of this.
Well, maybe you ought to ask him about it.
But to be honest about it, Nicky, I've never cared much for Guy either. But that's neither here nor there.
Oh, I think it is. And it certainly confirms my feelings about him.
Feelings aren't facts. And it's facts that stand up in a court of law. And that's where you're going to find yourself if you don't drop this whole ridiculous thing. Guy intends to sue you if you don't. Sue you for defamation of character. And as a lawyer, I can tell you, he'd win, hands down. Unless you could prove your accusations, hands down.
Well, then I have nothing to worry about. He murdered his first two wives. He murdered my sister. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And before I'm through, I'll prove it. What do you want?
I don't think it's a matter of what I want, but what you want. Yeah, come in.
There's nothing I want from you, Guy.
Oh, you do. Believe me, you just don't know it. Yet. However, if you're not interested...
No, no. Wait. Come in.
I knew you'd change your mind.
You seem very sure of yourself.
Well, I'm sure of you, anyway. You see, Nicky, you're gifted with a vivid imagination. At least, so they say in the fashion company.
Well, they have to manufacture news. They exaggerate.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. They don't exaggerate in the slightest. I just proved that.
You proved it?
I knew once I had something you wanted, your imagination would invent all sorts of interesting possibilities. And you'd be unable to turn me away until you found out.
You're very clever. Well, what do you want? I beg your pardon. What is it I want?
Well... One thing you want is peace of mind, the ability to do you good. Another thing you want is to go on living in this very swank penthouse apartment, enjoying the fruits of the fortune you possess. Nicky, I can take all of that away from you.
Oh, can you?
And will. Unless you, as they say, call off the hound.
The private detective.
The private detective.
There'll be no calling off of the hound, Guy.
All right. Then I shall sue you for defamation of character. sue for every penny you possess.
I have not defamed you. Neither I nor the private detectives have said a word to anyone.
But I have.
You?
Of course. I knew you were taking precautions to keep your skirts clean until you could prove your suspicions. So, I upset your precautions merely by dropping the right words in the right place. Amanda Jordan being one of the right places.
That poor, sad alcoholic.
Alcoholic? Yes. Sad? Yes. Poor? No. Dripping with money. That's why I'm marrying her on the 10th.
You are marrying...
You object?
I...
Save your breath. Do you no good. The point is, being alcoholic, Amanda talks so strong. She also gets around. What you're doing to me, Nikki, or trying to do to me, is all over town this very minute, and in the right places. If we went to court tomorrow, I could prove on unimpeachable evidence that you have hired detectives to dig into my past to substantiate false accusations you have made against me. Accusations, I may add, which happen to be anything but false. You can't prove them, Nick. You never will.
Are you standing there telling me that you did? That you are?
A murderer? Oh, yes.
Oh.
Oh, you're altogether right. I did murder them. All three. Your sister Alicia included.
Oh.
But, you see, all three murders were so cleverly engineered and executed that no one would ever believe I had done them, let alone succeed in proving that I had.
My God. To stand there and tell me, to my face, that you're a murderer, that you murdered my sister.
As I shall murder Amanda Jordan, thus executing another perfect crime. A murder to perfection, you might say. What are you doing?
I'm phoning Amanda.
Phoning Amanda? To tell her that I'm going to kill her? Nikki, please, don't be a fool. Put the phone down.
No.
All right, go ahead.
Amanda, this is Nikki Carpenter. Nikki Carpenter. Yes, Amanda, are you... Oh. Amanda, can you understand me?
Smash, I could have told you that.
Amanda, listen to me.
That'll be the day.
Amanda, please listen carefully now. Guy is here with me in my apartment. And he has just told me that he intends to murder you. Yes, I know you're going to marry him. That's the point of what I'm telling you. He's... No, I'm not inventing it. I am not a jealous fool. She
didn't believe you? In her hazy alcoholic way?
Oh, you are evil. You are a devil.
I haven't hesitated to tell you what I do, Nikki, because there's no way ever you can prove anything. But there's every way I can prove that you've damaged my career and altogether left yourself open to what are called punitive damages. A great big lump of punitive damages.
You evil...
And if what I've told you fails to persuade you to call off the hounds, I can still take one more step.
One more step?
Kill you, Nikki. Kill you. And no one the wiser.
Imagination. It plays like heat lightning in dark and ominous skies inside the heads of two people, Nikki Carpenter and Guy Weston, each seeking to combat, to outwit the other. The imaginative force within Nikki is good, that within Guy, evil. Certainly at the moment, it would appear that Nikki is helpless, that Guy has her where he wants her, that she must lose the battle, he win. Well, we'll see when I return shortly with Act Two.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
The common cold is a rotten thing. You miss so much. Sneezing, drips, and congestion can drag you down. Then, ask yourself the contact question. 6 or 3 or 1? You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact
for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. That's daytime, then nighttime relief. Both the others have things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs. Not found in Contact 600 Tiny Type pills.
Give your cold to Contact.
60301. Take Contact. Only as directed.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Hey, honey, this looks like a good deal. No payment for 3 months on easy credit terms.
But Lou, don't you think we should be sure we can meet the payments?
She's right, Lou. Shop for credit as carefully as you shop for products.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, before you decide to buy anything on time, ask yourself if you could make the payments out of your regular income. How far is your credit extended now? Have you any credit or cash reserve to cover an unexpected illness or loss of job?
Gee, thanks. Maybe I better think it over. Thanks for your advice.
Not at all. Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Such thing as the perfect crime? If that's what you've always thought, think again. For it certainly appears that Guy Weston knows how to murder to perfection. He is so sure of himself that he's candidly told his brother's fiancée, Nikki Carpenter, that he not only murdered her sister, but 2 previous wives. Furthermore, he's freely admitted that he intends to murder his next wife, Amanda Jordan, and may even do away with Nikki.
Do you mean to say that he stood there and confessed to you?
Confessed. He bragged. He boasted. Flaunted their murders in my face. And said he intended to murder Amanda after they marry.
Oh, I can't believe this, Nikki. I just can't.
He's hit on a way of committing the perfect murder.
Nonsense.
Bill, listen
to
me.
No, Nikki, you listen to me. I don't know what's caused all this. I know you're overtired. I know you're knocking yourself out to get your next fashion show ready. But whatever it is, Nikki, dear, stop it.
Stop what?
These imaginings of yours, these wild accusations about my brother being a murderer, a perfect murderer yet.
Bill, he killed Alicia.
He did not kill Alicia. Alicia fell or jumped from a 12-story window when Guy was in his office miles away. So how in heaven's name could he have killed her?
I don't know. That's what I'm hoping the private detective I hired will come up with.
You're still using a private detective?
Of course.
I warned you, Guy will sue you for everything you've got on grounds of slander, defamation of character, and win.
I know. He told me that himself. He also said that if I push him far enough, he might even murder me.
I'm just not going to believe this. I can't believe it. I'd be an absolute nut to believe it. As nutty as...
As me? Huh? Is that what you're saying? I see. Well, in that case, Bill, I think I'd better give this back.
You're giving me back our engagement ring?
Yes.
Okay.
No. I am not overtired. I am not letting my imagination run away with me. I did not create or invent what I just told you about Guy coming to see me. It's true, every word of it.
Nikki.
Please. He will kill Amanda if I can't stop him. And he'll kill me if, as he puts it, I don't call off the hounds. Well, Bill, I may be a nut with an imagination that's running wild, but I'd say Guy wants me to call off the hounds because he's scared to death they'll run him to the ground. And I'm betting that they will. Betting everything I have. My fortune. My career. My life.
You ask me, she needs a psychiatrist.
She's just terribly tired, exhausted.
So because she's tired, I'm supposed to let her slander me, wreck my career, my life? Do you know that because of that crazy phone call,
Nikki made to Amanda. Amanda almost called off our engagement.
Well, she didn't. You're married. No harm done.
Hello, Amanda? Nikki. Amanda, I'm just calling to tell you that Guy is going to murder you after you're married. Now, that's a hell of a thing to say. I mean, that's just a plain hell of a thing. And when that tape is played in court...
Tape? What tape?
Oh. Amanda had a tape recorder hooked to her phone. That automatically taped messages. She's an alcoholic, you know, and most of the time, you can't remember who called her about what, so she records all conversations.
Guy, do me a favor, will you? Destroy that tape and call off your suit against Nikki.
Oh, Bill, I can't. The accusations she's made, everybody knows about them. Nobody believes them, of course. At least, I hope nobody believes them. But she's made a laughingstock of me, Bill. I just can't sit back and do nothing to protect myself.
I suppose not. Well, thanks for your time, Guy. I'll see you.
Wait a minute.
Yes?
Oh, well, hell, you're my brother. I'll do it for you.
You will?
Yes, but with one proviso, Bill.
Name it.
One more word out of her about me. One more crazy accusation, and I'll nail her to the wall. So help me, I will.
There'll be no more accusations. I'll see to that. Somehow, I'll convince her.
Excuse me. Yes, Miss Mason.
Captain?
The police? For sure. Of course, put him through. Now, what can this be about? Yes, Captain. This is Guy Weston. You're calling from my home? But what are you doing? Of course I can come home right now, but what's happened? Captain, stop beating about the bush. What the hell has happened? When?
What?
You're sure? Oh, yes, I'll be there as fast as I can make it. Amanda dead.
Dead? Amanda?
He said, the captain, combination of alcohol and sleeping pills. Oh.
Easy. Easy. Oh. Look, I'll go home with you.
Yes. Please, get my hat and coat.
Here, your coat. Let me help you.
Thanks. Oh, Bill, I guess you know this means I can't call off my suit against Nikki.
Because Amanda's dead?
Nikki's accusations, everybody will believe they're true now. Well, I've got to prove they're not. I'm going through with the suit, Bill. I have no option.
What do you
wait,
want?
Wait a minute, Nikki. Don't close the door. Let me in.
I'd as soon let in a snake.
If I was afraid of snakes, I'd want to keep an eye on them. Know what they're up to. You better let me in.
All right, Guy. Make it quick. No, don't sit down. You won't be staying that long.
Oh, I think I will. I got a lot to say to you.
Well, then say it and get out.
First thing I want to say is that, of course, Amanda's death was no accident.
I know that.
The second thing I want to say... that yours won't be easy.
What?
You've gone white. Well, I can't say I blame you. I'd be scared, too, if someone told me I was going to kill myself.
Oh? I'm going to kill myself. Commit suicide, just like that.
Mm-hmm. Just like that.
And you're going to see to that?
I am.
And what reason will I have for taking my own life?
Guilt. Shame.
Guilt? Shame over what?
Of making false accusations against a certain Guy Weston. Me.
The accusations I made against you were true, not false. So why should I feel any guilt or any shame?
Yeah, Nikki, you are going to murder yourself, so to speak, just as my European wives did, as Alicia did, as Amanda did. Since you're going to be my next victim, I should think you'd like to know how it's all going to be accomplished.
I am not in the least interested.
I'm going to tell you anyway. I've said this before, and I apologize if I bore you, but I am quite possibly the only person in the world who has discovered how to commit the perfect murder. Would you believe that I found myself taking karate lessons in Japan when I was there? Now, so help me, I did. And suddenly, one day, the thought crossed my mind, if you can use an opponent's physical strength or weakness against him, why can't his mental strength or weakness be used against him as well? The answer, quite simply, is, of course, it can.
I don't see how.
You will. You will, my darling, you will. Now, consider Alicia. I had only to find her weakness to ensure her death. And I did. Her weakness was agoraphobia. That's the intense fear of heights. The reason such people fear heights is because they have a powerful, often overwhelming compulsion to throw themselves off into space. Well, such was Alicia's weakness. The weakness that I turned against her.
How?
Simply by laughing at her, showing contempt for her fear, taunting her for her inability even to go near a high window. I needled her, goaded her, irritated her until, to strike back at me, to prove me wrong, she would go to that 12th-story window of our apartment again and again and open the window and stand looking down at the traffic far, far below and say to me, "See, I can do it."
Oh.
And she did. Until the day I knew would come sooner or later, the day her nerve broke, compulsion overcame her, and she threw herself to her death.
Oh, you...
And now, wait, no, no, no,
oh,
no, claws. Please.
Please.
Don't you tie your claws on. Don't you tie your claws on me again. Now, as for Amanda, her weakness was alcohol and sleeping pills. My first step in murdering her was merely to replace her pills with placebos, which, of course, had no effect. Now, when she complained, I told her she probably needed stronger sleeping pills and saw to it that she got them, along with plenty to drink, you understand. Her death was a foregone conclusion. Once again, using my victim's weakness against her, she killed herself.
Huh?
And I, the real murderer, remain scot-free.
And I am your next victim.
You are. You'll be dead within 2 weeks. In fact, you don't know it, but you've already written your suicide note. On this.
That's one of those shirt pocket tape recorders.
That is, you see, I was carrying in my shirt pocket. Everything we've said to each other since I came through that door has been recorded on this tape.
Yes, but I did not record a suicide note.
Correction. You will have, once I have edited and altered the tape, then re-recorded it. I'll let you hear it. Well, that's the least I can do.
And perhaps you'd be good enough to tell me what strength or weakness of mine you intend to use against me.
With you, no weakness. Strength.
Which is?
Come on, you know your strong point as well as I do. You tell me.
My imagination?
Precisely. Within 2 weeks or less, Vicky, you're going to be dead.
Huh?
Murdered by your own imagination.
Murdered by her own imagination? How in the world can that be done? Come to think of it, people have been killed by terror, by sudden fear, overwhelming panic. But it can't happen that way with Nikki. She's too strong, too self-controlled. What way, then? What plan has Guy in mind? We'll find out shortly when I return with Act 3.
What can you do to a family car to make it more than just roomy, comfortable, and utilitarian? Well, you could call it a Buick LeSabre, for starters. That'll get you the kinds of things you'd normally expect from a family car, plus some pretty uncommon family car traits. Like a level of exterior and interior elegance befitting a night on the town. The distinct formal roofline on the four-door hardtop LeSabre is highlighted by opera windows on either side. On the inside, you'll find comfortable cloth or vinyl seats, plush carpeting throughout, plus available options such as tilt steering wheel and automatic climate control air conditioning to turn ordinary errand running into motoring for pleasure. The 1975 Buick LeSabre. Consider it a family car as well as an instrument of pleasure. Buick's LeSabre. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Madame Xanadu, can you really tell me anything about my future?
If you concentrate and gaze with me into the crystal ball. Ah, yes, it is beginning to clear. I can almost see.
Oh, tell me what you see, Madame Xanadu.
I see that you are coming into some money.
I am?
Yes, and you will continue to receive even more.
Oh, how much money will I get, Madame Xanadu?
You will receive $4.20.
$4.20?
Yes, every payday. Because you will lower the amount of federal income tax you now have withheld from your pay.
Oh, for heaven's sake. What else do you see in that ball?
I see you filling out a new W-4 form so that you can begin receiving your windfall.
This message presented on behalf of the Internal Revenue Service.
Can your imagination kill you? Murderer Guy Weston says it can, and since he's been eminently successful in doing away with a number of victims, it would appear that Nikki Carpenter is about to become his latest. He won't kill her. Oh, no, no. She will kill herself. The instrument of death being her own imagination. Up to now, Guy Weston has murdered to perfection. Up to now.
Hello?
Hello, Nikki. This is Guy. No, don't hang up. Oh. I want to play your suicide note to you.
If you think you can scare me...
Scare you? That's not my purpose at all, Nikki. I simply want to keep you in touch. Now then, here's the first step to your murdering yourself. Listen.
The accusations I made against Guy Weston were false. I feel guilt, shame. I'm going to kill myself. Commit suicide.
There it is, Nikki. Your suicide note in your own voice, recorded by you on the tape recorder, that will be found in your apartment.
You vile, evil...
Bye for now, Nikki.
Now, Nikki.
Bill. Oh, Bill, you've got to help me.
Of course I will, sweetheart.
I'm so sorry I broke our engagement. That was stupid of me. But I was so upset and frustrated.
Don't you think I realized that? The nice thing about a broken engagement is that it's easily repaired by putting the ring back on the girl's finger. Now hold out that pretty hand of yours, young lady.
Oh, Bill.
And now a kiss to make sure the repair holds.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a repair that'll hold forever.
It will, my darling. It will.
Now then. New fashion season or no new fashion season, you're going to take a week off.
A week off?
At least a few days. Get away from work, out from all the pressure you've been under.
Bill, what are you saying?
I'm saying that I'm going to take you up to my place on the lake for a long weekend. See that you rest, relax, and recuperate from the heavy workload you've been... What is it?
You haven't believed a word I said.
Well, Nikki...
No, everything I've told you. Guy admitting he's a murderer... saying he's going to see that I kill myself, the fake suicide note he tricked me into taping. You don't believe any of that.
Nikki, sweetheart, we've been through all this. But you broke your engagement to me because of it. Now, don't...
Please, will you believe me? Will you please believe that what I'm telling you is true? Your brother Guy is a murderer. He murdered my sister Alicia by tricking her into jumping out of a window. And he murdered Amanda as he said he would. And as I told you, he would.
Amanda died from combining alcohol with sleeping pills.
Sleeping pills that were any number of times stronger than anything she ever took before. Your brother murders people by tricking them into murdering themselves. And he's told me that he's going to do the same to me.
By maneuvering you into killing yourself with your own imagination? Nikki, be reasonable. You know you'll do no such thing. Sure, sure. You're a highly imaginative woman, but you're also a very practical, down-to-earth woman.
If only I could convince you
that... Let me convince you of something. Convince you that one of the best things you could possibly do would be to...
Yes? Do what?
Have dinner with me tonight, then go to the theater afterward.
Oh, Bill.
Look, I'll pick you up at 6:30. Cocktails, dinner, and any play or musical you want to see. Date?
Oh, date.
Oh, excuse me. My name is Bill Weston, and I believe I have a date for dinner in the theater with a very charming young woman.
Yes, you have.
And is she ready?
Just about. Oh, all she has to do is put on her hat and gloves.
Not before she gives her husband to be a kiss.
What? Spoil my makeup? Uh-uh. You have to wait till we get back.
Something to look forward to. Hey, snazzy hat. You do something for it.
Thank you. Ouch.
What's that?
Ooh. There's something in the finger of this glove. Look, my finger's bleeding.
Oh, I see. Well, your finger's cut.
Well, how could I possibly cut my finger on a glove?
Just a sec. Turn the glove inside out. Well, how did this get inside your glove?
What? What is it? I don't see it.
Well, it's so small, you can hardly see it. A tiny bit of glass.
How could anything like that get inside my glove?
I don't know, but...
Oh, dear. Excuse me. Hello?
Guy, Nicky.
Yes?
Brother Bill told me he's taking you to dinner in the theater tonight.
What of it?
Nicky, don't wear gloves tonight.
Don't wear...
Oh, dear. I'm too late. You've already put them on, have you? And cut your finger?
Yes.
Oh, well, just a scratch. I mean, nothing to worry about. Unless the bit of glass inside your glove was poisoned.
Poisoned? Hello? Hello?
Honey, what is it?
He hung up.
Who?
Your brother Guy. My murderer.
Nicky?
Hmm?
How do you feel?
Sick. My headaches. My stomach's upset.
But if Dr. Welch said he could discover no signs of poison...
He won't be sure until he's tested the blood sample, too. Why doesn't he phone? Here.
The devil. Oh, rather the doctor. Hello? Yes, doctor. Oh, good, good. Well, doctor, we appreciate your coming over and all you've done. Thanks again, doctor. Not a trace of poison, Nicky.
But why do I feel so awful?
I guess because you thought you might have been poisoned. But you weren't, honey. It was just all in your...
Say it, Bill. It was all in my imagination.
Then you admit, Guy, you admit you telephoned Nicky last night.
What is this, Bill? Some kind of inquisition? You walk into my office the first thing in the morning and start shooting questions at me as if I were guilty of something. Yes, I did phone Nicky last night. What about it?
What did you phone her about?
To tell her I was withdrawing the suit I brought against her for defamation of character.
You are withdrawing it?
Yeah, I know I said I'd have to go through with it, but... Well, you are my brother. And she is your fiancée, and oh... Well, hell, I just couldn't go through with it, that's all.
And that's what you phoned her about?
What else would I phone her about? Well?
Forget it, Guy. Forget it.
What could be? What's 3 a.m? Who can be calling? Hello?
Nicky, listen. The accusations I made against Guy Weston were false. I feel guilt, shame. I'm going to kill myself. Commit suicide.
Pleasant dreams, Nicky. Pleasant dreams.
Oh, no. I ask you, all of you, who you think you are. I mean, I am Nicky Carpenter. I created the Nicky Carpenter Collection and not you.
Nicky, please.
Oh, shut up. I've heard enough out of all of you. Now, you listen to me. When I ask for black mousseline, I want black mousseline. And when I ask for white file, I want white file. I don't care what your reason is. Don't change my orders. Now get out of here, all of you. The lot of you. Get out. Get out. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Please. Please, I'm sorry. Please forgive me, please. Please.
Yes? Yes, put him through. Yes, Dr. Welch. I'm worried about her, too. She's not sleeping, not eating, a bundle of nerves. I'm wondering if you could recommend a good psychiatrist. Why? Because I think she's in need of psychiatric help.
Oh? Well, I'll certainly come to see you. When? Right. Be in your office in half an hour.
Hello.
3 a.m. and you answer at once? Not sleeping, Nikki?
Oh, what do you want?
Question is, what you want? What your imagination has brought you to wanting? Death.
I won't listen to you.
No need. Listen to your imagination. That's what you've been doing. Imagining how, just quite how, you'll reach the point where you'll kill yourself.
You, myself.
The gun is in the drawer of your night table.
Oh.
Save yourself a lot of agony, Nikki. Use it. Tonight. Now.
Bill.
Yes, Guy?
It's late. They'll be closing the chapel in half an hour. Everybody's gone.
I want to stay with Nikki and be with her as much as possible. Until she's buried tomorrow.
There's no good to punish yourself, Bill. She's gone. Nothing you can do now.
But could I have done something before? Before? Listen to fears or worries? Guy?
Yes.
I'd like to look at her before. Could you ask someone to come in and open the casket?
You don't want that.
Yes.
No.
Guy, please.
Bill, she isn't presentable. You know, a gun to the temple.
Yes, yes. All right. I'll stay till they close the chapel at midnight. I won't do the same for you, though, Guy.
You won't. For me.
When you're lying in your casket to be buried next morning, I'll not sit with you, keep no vigil for you. Not for a murderer.
You're saying some very funny things, Bill.
I know you killed Nikki.
You what?
I know you killed her, made her kill herself, drove her to it.
Bill, I think you could use a drink.
You can use a lawyer. Get yourself one. I've got you with the goods, brother.
What are you talking about?
I was there, in Nikki's apartment, when you called and told her about the gun. I heard every word on the phone extension. I made a point of staying with her constantly. After a little conference I had with Dr. Welsh, Nikki's physician, who convinced me that she was as sane as I am, living on the edge of nerves, nerves rubbed raw, driven to the end of her rope, her emotional rope, and imagining things.
You were there when I phoned?
Oh, more to it than that, Guy. I went to your place, found the original tape, the one you recorded her suicide note from.
You're lying.
Am I?
You couldn't have found the original tape. I destroyed it.
And there was an original.
What?
You just admitted there was an original tape from which you recorded, edited, altered, and re-recorded Nikki's suicide note.
All right. All right, you're so bloody damn smart. All right. I did kill her the way I killed the others, by using their weaknesses, their strengths, so they would kill themselves. So do me something. Huh? Prove something. So I slipped. I admitted there was an original tape, so what?
Who heard me say it?
You?
Me?
Her?
She's dead.
No, Guy. I'm alive. I'm very much alive.
Nikki?
You have been tricked this time. I did not kill myself. It was all fake.
Once I was convinced Nikki was telling the truth, trapping you, Guy, was simple.
Trapping me? You haven't trapped me.
But we have. You've admitted everything.
Who heard me? You? Her?
And you, Guy. You.
You think I'd testify against myself in a court of law? Testify against myself?
As a matter of fact, you will.
You're crazy.
But this isn't.
A tape recorder. A shirt pocket tape recorder.
You used this same little device to drive Nikki to suicide and failed. I'll use it to send you to jail. And Guy, I'll succeed.
And so, imagination. This time, not only Nikki's, but Bill's imagination, the most powerful force on Earth, for good or ill, brings an insidiously clever murderer to ground. I'll be back shortly.
Who will cope with tomorrow for a brighter new day? There's one hope for tomorrow, the children of today.
Information, write Save the Children, Box 120, Grand Central Station, New York.
When you first joined me, I spoke of imagination as a world of fantasy, then corrected myself to say it is a world of reality. I'd like to correct myself again. It is truly a world of fantasy and reality. Question is, which is it? When? Our cast included Mercedes McCambridge, John Newland, and Joseph Campanella. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
It was a woman.
Bring the ship around. Slowly, Ellen.
That's right.
I hope she knows what she's talking about.
And I still smell tobacco.
So do I. Was she that close? Huh. Funny. I didn't see a thing.
I didn't hear any motor.
Maybe she's sailing.
Now, Susie, how could she be? There's no wind.
And she seemed to get away so fast.
Now, Ellen, go as slow as you can. I'm going forward and keep a sharp watch. We don't know what we're heading into.
But I've got her throttled way down.
Let me try. That's no use.
Oh, we've gone aground.
Yes, and we're stuck fast.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS News is next on KIXI, AM and FM in Seattle. Showery periods through tomorrow with local gusty winds and periods of partial clearing. The highs near 50, lows in the low 40s. Partly sunny on Tuesday. In downtown Seattle currently, it's 48 degrees, the barometer falling at 29.52. Wind out of the south at 10 miles per hour. This score, in the Central Hockey League, the Seattle Totems climbed out of the cellar in the Northern Division for the first time this year with a 5-0 win over Salt Lake City. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS.
CBS News. President Ford has arrived in Japan, his first foreign mission as president, and the first time an American president has been to that country. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Air Force One landed less than a half hour ago. A 21-gun salute greeted the president as he stepped off the plane. Phil Jones was at the airport.
After 15 hours of flying, President Ford has arrived here in Tokyo. Now leaving Air Force One, the president walking down the ramp here at Tokyo's airport. Waiting for him here at the airport today, the U.S. ambassador to Japan, and about 8 or 9 officials from the Japanese government. What you hear in the background now is a 21-gun salute for President Ford as he arrives here to begin his talks with the Japanese government. This is not the official state welcome. That will come later, several hours from now, when President Ford meets the Japanese emperor and the prime minister. The reason for this delay in the official welcome is to give the president and his party a chance to recover from jet lag. It's actually about 3:30 Monday afternoon here in Tokyo. For President Ford, it's 1:30 in the morning, Washington time. It's been a long, grueling 7,000-mile flight from Washington, D.C. to Tokyo. The president, soon as he has finished here with this very brief, very small welcoming ceremony, will get aboard a helicopter and fly off to the Akasaka Palace, where the president and his staff will stay while they are here in Tokyo for the 4 days. Security is extremely tight here. An estimated 160,000 Japanese policemen have been mobilized for the president's stay. Helicopter now waiting for the president to go across and to head to the palace. U.S. officials are saying there will be no major diplomatic announcements while the president is here. This is one of primarily symbolism, that being the visit of a first American president. Go Jones, CBS News, with the presidential party in Tokyo.
More news after this message.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off, the sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And Sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sign-off sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use Sign-off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
Israel confirms its warship Sunday shelled positions inside southern Lebanon. The Lebanese army claims Israeli warships fired on a Palestinian refugee camp. Israel says its army remains on alert but adds tension in the area along the front lines appears to have eased somewhat. One reason the alert was called this weekend deals with the future of UN buffer troops along the Syrian front. More on that from Bruno Wassertile in Tel Aviv.
A former chief of Israeli military intelligence says that an all-out war with Syria is unlikely if Damascus agrees to extend the mandate of the UN peacekeeping force on the Golan Heights. On the other hand, Reserve General Chaim Herzog feels Syrian refusal to extend the mandate should be considered by Israel as an act of war. In an interview on the state radio network, General Herzog said a battle between the two countries would inevitably develop over control of the Golan Heights buffer zone, now in the UN's charge. The general believes the Soviet Union is egging the Syrians on by supplying them with unprecedented amounts of military hardware. Herzog believes the massive Soviet arms flow to Syria and neighboring Iraq is also, and not incidentally, meant to strengthen Russian influence in the Persian Gulf. Bruno Wassertile for CBS News in Tel Aviv.
As expected, the party of Prime Minister Konstantin Karamanlis came out on top in Sunday's national elections in Greece. The New Democracy Party won a comfortable majority of the seats in parliament. Karamanlis appealed to his countrymen to unite to build a new Greece. These were the first free elections in Greece in a decade. 7 Democratic senators said Sunday they are going to try to get a major tax reform program through the current session of Congress. In a joint statement, the senators said they'll try to add the plan to an unrelated bill before the Congress adjourns. Their proposals include an end to the oil depletion allowance, increasing tax credits for new business, and tax relief for individuals. Americans looking forward to a big holiday dinner can be thankful for one thing this year. Your Thanksgiving turkey is a pretty good buy. A survey by the Associated Press shows that turkey in general is cheaper this year than it was last. AP says turkey prices have dropped by about 20 cents a pound to an average of 49 to 69 cents a pound. Poultry producers are not too happy with the situation, however. They say they are losing money growing the Thanksgiving birds. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle. This is KIXR, where the time now is 6 minutes past 11.